But Father, I thank you and I praise you for all those who came out into the house of God. I thank you, Father God, that you are more than able to restore what the Palmer cankerworm have stolen. I thank you, God, for your people, that they love you, that they're fighting the good fight of faith. I thank you for angelic hosts, Father, that's walking to and fro throughout these chairs, ministering to each and every need here tonight. And Father, I truly do thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I'm hearing God say, get ready for persecution is on its way. And you're going to have to be steadfast and strong in him if you're going to endure the persecution. Amen. Remember what God said. If you stand up here and say anything, you better be living it. Because he's going to hold you accountable for every word that you speak. Amen. Tonight we're going to talk about honor. This morning we talked about character. Tonight we're going to talk about honor. And the other day we talked about the forever king. And Brother Christopher Gore said, is this a series? I said, no. This happened to be what God's told me to teach on. Amen. Sound like a series, though, doesn't it? But it isn't. I'm going to talk about honor. In God's kingdom, there is a protocol of honor. If you expect God's blessing, you need to start by honoring God, respect his word, and behave accordingly. If you expect God's blessings, you need to start by honoring God first, respect his word, and behave accordingly. This includes respect by everything that is holy, God himself, his word, the church, and the men and women of God that he places on your path. All right? Honor is the value of something. It causes everything around it to elevate. Dishonor is to treat something as common, causes everything around it to go down. You see the difference? Honor builds up, dishonor tears down. Every one of us know that something very powerful is going on in the world today. I hope you do anyhow. God has been doing a quiet, hidden work, something so supernatural that it is beyond human comprehension. The Holy Spirit is highlighting a truth from Scripture that is a key to releasing many of you in your prophetic calling. The Holy Spirit is highlighting a truth from Scripture that is a key to releasing many of you in your prophetic calling. The Bible pattern is this. At the doorway to your destiny, there will be a giant to defeat, and there will also be a general to honor. And I put that in yesterday's, all right? Let's read that again. The Bible pattern is this. At the doorway to your destiny, where God's taking you to or trying to take you to, there will be a giant to defeat, and there will also be a general to honor. And neither of these is easy. Both test our submission to God. Both test our submission to God. The giant tests our courage, but honor tests our character. All right? Honor is a deep, deep, abiding inner attitude of reverence and respect. Honor is a deep, deep, abiding inner attitude of reverence and respect. John 12, 1 through 8 states, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of a very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was the fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. Now, just as Mary honored Jesus, the body of Christ must also honor him. In the way we live, this is how we should honor him. In the way we live, our thought life, how we conduct business, in every aspect of life is how we should honor Jesus. Every aspect, not just one or two. The people don't respect God. This is what was the title of this scripture. Malachi 1:6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? This is God speaking to his people in Malachi. And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts, to you priest who despise my name? Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you by saying the table of the Lord is contemptible? You know, what they're saying here is you don't give God the very best of yourself. You give him the leftovers, and that makes God very upset. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Now we're talking about animals here, not people, all right? He said, all right, you want to offer that to me. Give it to your governor. What's your governor going to say to you about this? But now, entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Who is there, even among you, who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. If you don't give God the very best of you, he has no pleasure in you. He wants the very best of you. He's tired of you giving him the leftovers. He's really sick and tired of you giving him the leftovers. Malachi 1:11 says, people all around the world respect my name. All around the world they bring good gifts to me and burn good incense as a gift to me, because my name is important to all of them. This is what the Lord All-Powerful said. You know, people every place else were honoring God, but the people right there were not. But you people show that you don't respect my name. You say that the Lord's altar is unclean, and you don't like the food from that altar. You smell the food and refuse to eat it. You say it is bad. Then you bring sick, crippled, and hurt animals to me. You try to give sick animals to me as sacrifices, but I will not accept them. This is what the Lord All-Powerful said. But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow that sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. The house of God does not fear the name of the Lord. You just come in and out of the house of God any way you please. You really don't honor God at all. You don't even think because you walk through the door and sit in a chair that's honored to God. He wants what's pleasing. He wants that thing that's acceptable. He wants the very best of you that you have to give to him. Caleb honored Joshua before he took Hebron. When it came time for Caleb to receive his inheritance in Canaan, he approached Joshua and said in Joshua 14:12, now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. The Lord helping me, I will drive them, the Anakites, out, just as he said. Now Caleb knew his inheritance was a hill country occupied with the Anakites because God promised it to him. It didn't matter to him that the people were descended from giants and that years back, other leaders in Israel had said in Numbers 13:33, we were like grasshoppers in their sight. He wasn't afraid of these giants because he knew he had given his very best to God. He knew he loved the Father with every fiber of his being. He had an unswerving belief in his God-given capacity to take the land. See, if you don't honor God, that's why you don't receive from God, because you don't really believe that he's going to give to you, because you know deep down the depths of your heart that you're not right with God. And that you're offering him a defiled sacrifice. Your temple is defiled, and you're trying to offer a defiled sacrifice to God, and God's not pleased with that, and he's not accepting it either. Caleb loved God. You say, I love God. I don't believe so, because I watch you. I watch how you operate. I watch what you do. And I'm sorry, the words that come out of your lips, your body does not correspond with those words. Caleb loved God. He had the prophetic promise, and he was unquestionably in his time of divine appointment. He had a promise of God, and he knew this was a time for him to receive that promise. He was a great leader in his own right. You know, Caleb was a great leader in his own right, and yet he paused. Caleb took time to address Joshua, the man of God appointed as leader of Israel, and ask him for his God-given inheritance. You see this? Before he overcame the giants, Caleb honored the general. He obtained Joshua's blessing. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. You find that in Joshua 14:13. Caleb could have went and taken the land without honoring Joshua. But he didn't. He went to the leader that God placed over him, and he asked him, will you please do this thing for me? When really, truly, he could have just went right in there and took it. But he loved God, and he knew how God wanted us to stay in order. And he did everything in order, and God was well-pleasing with him. Come on. David received King Saul. Now, listen. All right, we're through with Caleb here. Now, David received King Saul's blessing before he overcame Goliath. When David visited his brothers on the front lines of battle and saw Goliath, he was filled with faith. He knew without a shadow of a doubt that giant was no match for the anointing of God on his life. 1 Samuel 17, you find out, why don't we know that? Why don't we know that the giants we face, they cannot defeat us because of the anointing upon our lives, because of the promises and the power and the authority that God has given us as true children of God. We don't know that because we don't love God and we are not walking in the holiness the way God's called us to walk. And the enemy has full rule and reign over us. He can run all over us because we are not walking the way God wants us to walk. Well, give me grace. God has given you grace after grace after grace after grace after grace. How much have you changed? What have you done with your life? How many times do you think you can still backslide? You'll be like Samson. You know, he'd sin and get up and shake his head. The anointing was still there. He'd get right back into his sin again, get up and shake his head. His anointing was still there. And one day he'd get up and shake his head, no anointing. He ended up with his eyes gouged out, pushing the little wheel in prison, grinding the wheat. He kept tempting God with his sin. He kept doing it. Well, God forgave me this time. They did it again. God forgave me this time. But there comes a day when God withdraws his grace, when you contemptibly keep sinning, and you know that you're sinning. And you sit in the house of God, and you profess that you're a child of God, and all the time there's evil inside of you that you are not addressing. You've got to get it together. You just have to. So I had said that David knew without a shadow of a doubt that giant was no match for the anointing of God on his life. You find that 1 Samuel 17. Yet he didn't stride out onto that battlefield and take that giant down without doing something of great significance first. David was brought before Saul, and he said in 1 Samuel 17:32, then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Offering his service to King Saul was possibly one of David's greatest acts of faith. He could have just run up there with his little slingshot and run right out there in that field and done his thing. But he didn't do that. He went in before Saul, the leader of the people, and talked to Saul and got Saul's permission to go out and fight the giant. Are you understanding this? Offering his service to King Saul was possibly one of David's greatest acts of faith. He did not look like a warrior. He had neither age nor battle experience and no armor. David had faith, a calling, and an anointing. David had faith, a calling, and an anointing. At that moment, David expressed honor towards God's appointed leadership, even though Saul arguably did not deserve such honor. But still, David gave him honor, the honor that was due him. Saul had long ago lost the Holy Spirit's anointing on his life and was now shaking in his boots with fear, as was every other soldier on the sidelines. Are you looking at your own life tonight? Why is it that you fear the giants all the time? Why is it every time the enemy comes at you, you tremble in your boots? Why is it that you can't give honor to those that God has placed over you? Why? Look what I did. You didn't do it without the one that God placed over you to lead, guide, and direct you in the path that you need to go. You just didn't do it on your own. I'm sorry to tell you this. God placed a leader over you who could lead you and guide you and direct you in the right path, the one that would lead you into your final destiny. Come on, you people. Honor is a powerful expression of faith. And in that moment of destiny, King Saul said to David in 1 Samuel 17:37, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So it was that a shepherd boy took down a giant. See, he didn't go until Saul, the one that was over him, said, "Go." Too many people are sitting in the house of God and they're going because that's what they want to do. They aren't going whenever the leader tells them to go. They're going on their own. And that's why you're seeing so much devastation in the house of God. That's why you're not seeing the anointing the way it needs to be seen. And that's why you're not seeing the people that go thrive in what they're going to do, because they don't have God with them. You need to honor God. And you need to honor that leader. Let's look at Esther's example. We also see this powerful principle at work in the story of Esther. Before she could expose and defeat the enemy of the Jews, she had to honor the king. A leader who wasn't Jewish and who didn't believe in God, but she had to honor him. He extended his favor toward her. Through this example, we can see that no leader is beyond reach of the Holy Spirit's influence. Are you listening here? That king did not believe in God, was not following God, but still Esther gave him honor. And that's why you see many leaders in the house of God who really are not following God the way they ought, and they have huge churches, is because God is honoring them just because, I mean, people are honoring them just because God has placed them in that position. Now, if you don't want to sit under that person, you don't have to. You can go wherever, you can pray and ask God where you should go, and then you can go where God sends you, and he'll send you at the place where you'll be fed, and you'll be drugged down. You guys, this is very, very important. Some of you might fall before the glory falls. God is not going to put you in a position that you're going to give him a bad name. He's not going to. Moses was another great leader with an anointing on his life. But God took him to the backside of the desert for 40 years before he placed him into his assignment. Some of you sitting here, "Well, I've been sitting here for 10 years and God hasn't done anything." Well, you're not ready yet. You aren't given honor where honor is due. You don't love God the way you ought. You still have sin raging inside of you, and God is not going to use you. Don't fool yourself. He's not going to use you until you get yourself together. The New Testament principle of, let's look at the New Testament principle of commissioning. As we move into the New Testament, we see many who had a prophetic calling who were chosen by God and anointed. There was something else they had in common. They waited for their commissioning. They waited. How many years have it been since God told me to tell y'all that the glory was coming? How many? 2007. He said, "And daughter, don't grow weary in telling them that." I'm still waiting for that glory. See, they waited. I tried to get God to bring the glory. And he said, "You can't do that, daughter. I'm going to do it in the proper timing." Amen. And thank God he told me not to grow weary in telling y'all that, because a couple times I said, "God, I really don't want to say this no more." He said, "You tell them my glory is coming. So you just have to wait." When I heard a couple years ago when Billy Graham died, then everything was going to break loose, I kept watching for Billy Graham to die. And he did. He didn't die. He hung in there until God's perfect timing. Because when I heard it, I thought it was going to happen right then. But see, in God's perfect timing, everything takes place. All right? All right, I said there was something else they had in common. They waited for their commissioning. Like Timothy, Stephen, Philip, and others, our greatest act of faith may be waiting for God's timing of promotion and choosing the way of honor. You hear that? Like Timothy, Stephen, Philip, and others, our greatest act of faith may be waiting for God's timing of promotion and choosing the way of honor. One of my favorite examples is that of the Apostle Paul. He had a powerful encounter with Jesus and a prophecy that he would go before kings as well as an apostolic calling to reach nations with the gospel. And you'll find that in Acts chapter 9. Yet years after that encounter, Paul, formerly Saul, who was Saul, was still serving as a teacher and prophet in the church in Antioch, waiting for the timing of God. I know some of you in here, God said you will go before kings. You're trying to make that way happen. It's not going to work. You have to wait for God because you're not ready yet to stand before kings. You'd mess everything up. You've got to wait for God's timing. Some of you, God has told me you're going to have a ministry all your own, but you're not ready yet. And you're fussing because you're not in that ministry. That's one reason why you're not in it, because you're fussing that you're not in it. All right? You see, the truth will set you free. And if you accept the truth of God's word, then you will be set free and you'll be willing to wait for God's timing. I've been ministering for what? Over 30 years. And I still have not walked into the fullness of what God has told me he's going to do with me. So my cry for the last year, God, are you really going to do this or are you finished with me? The last time he said, don't you ever ask me that question again. In my timing, I'm going to do exactly what I said I would do. God, you said there's a new building. This one's falling apart. In my timing, I'm going to give you a new building. There's things I still have to work out with these people because I can't put them in a new building. They would destroy a new building as they are destroying this building. Are you listening? So it's your fault that we're in a room in a building with the walls caving in. I'm going to put the blame where it belongs. It's on you. You're not ready to go into a new building. You'd tear it up just like you do this one. You'd bring your sin into the walls of that one like you do this one. And God's trying to get us to be holy people, without spot and without wrinkle. All right, so I said, yet years after that encounter, we're talking about Paul, who was Saul, he was still serving as a teacher and prophet in the church in Antioch, waiting for the timing of God. It was not until the church leaders heard from God and commissioned Paul that he moved into the fullness of his calling. And you'll see that in Acts chapter 13. You know, as I was studying all this and reading about all these things, God spoke to me. It's somebody in here. They're not here tonight, but somebody in here, God told him, now, right now, I want you to start a home ministry now. And they didn't do it. They missed the timing of God. Now they're going to have to wait. See, when God tells you, I want you to do it right now, and I even talk to the people privately, you've got to do this now. When I know that God wants you, I will come to you privately and personally tell you, now is the time. And move out in faith and do it now. So many people are sitting in the house of God that's already missed their timing. And now they're going to have to wait till God comes around again. You can't blame God because he told you. Going to have to look at the mirror, look at yourself and say, my fault, God, not yours. Not the pastor's, not a prophet. It's my fault because I didn't move when you told me to move. I didn't do what you told me to do. Brother Brett back there, when he lived in my home, God said, I want you to write books and I don't want you to get a secular job because your books are going to support you. He did not write his book and he's sitting in poverty. I don't know when God's going to take him out of poverty. He's crying out to God, as far as I know, as hard as he can cry. At least that's what he's telling me. I'm taking him at face value. But see, if he would have wrote the books and kept writing the books, he would have more than enough. So what has God told you to do? And you haven't done it. And you might be sitting in abject poverty. Don't blame God. Put the blame where it belongs, right on yourself. Is everybody listening? Like Timothy, is that where I'm at? Where am I at? First, I'm down to the bottom of the page, all right? The Bible speaks of another noteworthy group of people who are deserving of double honor. It is the leadership of the church, and they are called elders. 1 Timothy 5:17, 18. Let the elders who rule well, be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. You are supposed to honor the pastor of your church. And if you can't honor them, and if you know they're doing wrong, then you need to leave that church. Don't talk about them. Ask God and leave that church. But don't sit there and be a stumbling block to everybody in the church. Are you listening here tonight? There's too much of that going on. You sit there, you moan, you groan, you whisper, and you backbite about the pastor. Leave. Because you're bringing a curse on that pastor. You should be praying for your pastor, not talking about your pastor. If you want to talk about your pastor, go before the God on your knees and talk to God about him. Not everybody that will listen. And everybody's willing to listen to garbage. Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And I see that in this church all the time. You say many swelling words with these lips, but your heart is not in what you're saying. Y'all know that. You see it too. I'm not the only one that sees that. Your actions reveal everything you do. When I get around you, the anointing around you is not good. A good anointing. It's an anointing that's a division, and you need to get it together. You need to quit speaking, because God's going to hold you accountable for those words you speak out there. They're just words. He's going to hold you accountable for those. Honoring God includes honoring his prophets. Matthew 13:55. Isn't he just, they're talking about Jesus. They didn't know why he was so wise. And they said, isn't he just the son of the carpenter we know? Isn't his mother's name Mary, and aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And don't all his sisters still live here in town? How is he able to do these things? So they had a problem accepting Jesus, but Jesus said to them, people everywhere give honor to a prophet, but in his own town or in his own home, a prophet does not get any honor. I can go anywhere else and I'll get honor. I don't get any honor in my own home, I can guarantee that, and I don't get the honor that's due me. And I don't want you to honor me now because I said it, but I don't get the honor that's due me in this church either. But when I go out, I get the honor. Because they don't say, well, that's Barbara King, who's been married twice. Or Lynch, who's been married twice. Well, look what her kids do. They don't say stuff like that because they don't know me. So they give me honor. But then I don't hold nothing back either. I'm a blabbermouth. I tell everything because I'm not going to go out there and deceive you and make you believe I'm God, because I'm not. All right? All right. And then verse 58, Jesus did not do many miracles there in his own hometown because the people did not believe in him. You want to know why maybe miracles aren't moving in here? Do you believe in me? Do you honor me? Wherever you go to church, there's no miracles going on. Is it because you're not believing in your pastor? You're not honoring your pastor? Are you listening here what I'm saying to you tonight? I hope so, because God's going to hold you accountable for what you just heard. It takes faith to wait. Believe me, it does. And one day I was right back where Brother Allen's sitting, and I was ministering, and God quietly spoke to me and said, daughter, from this moment forth, your walk's going to be a total, complete faith walk, and you're going to walk by faith and never by sight and never by my voice again. It's going to be a total faith walk. And he was quiet for a while from that point on. He started talking eventually, but he was checking out my faith. Was I willing to go ahead and do the things that I felt by the unction of the Holy Spirit to do it whenever he wasn't speaking, when I didn't feel him around me? See, your faith is always being tested in some way, shape, or form, always. And God has his little school book up there putting his little gold stars on it, you know, when you pass your test. Let's be honest, many times it takes more faith to wait and to honor God's appointed generals in our lives than it does to go out against the giants. This is something every child of God has to learn. Some of you may have to learn that this the hard way through failure and repentance. I can speak better than the pastor can. Good. How about the anointing? Come on. She can't even pronounce her words. I can pronounce her words, but how about your anointing? Moses couldn't even speak. He stuttered, but he had the anointing. He had the calling of God on his life. Are you understanding that? She doesn't dress right, but how about the anointing? You know, I'm just saying this is what things people do, but what about the anointing? You need to quit judging. You need to quit criticizing. You just need to get yourself before God. You need to repent and say, God, it's me that's in need in prayer. Not the other people in the church, not the pastor, not the prophets, but it's me. Because I'm just not looking right. I have this big log in my eye has blinded me to everything around about me, making me think I'm number one when I'm not even on the list anywhere. Amen. I know there are many of you I know there are many of you who may be saying this is an area I struggle with. Perhaps you don't currently have a leader you can relate to or one you respect. Perhaps you are currently serving under leadership who do not see the call of God in your life the way you do. See, the way you do. I see the call of God in your life, but also see that the things that are dragging you down, and it's not letting you fulfill that call. And God tells me what to preach, and as I preach it, things, I say, okay, that's hitting what's wrong with them. But you don't change. You just, oh, that was a really good sermon, and it goes over your head or under your feet. But you'll see, this great anointed minister has a big ministry on TV, and they said. Then you go and say the same thing I said. Come on. She's not on TV, so what she says can't really be all that good. This is the way the body of Christ works. You need to quit. I don't want you to honor me at all. God honors me, and that's all I need. But I'm trying to teach you something here tonight. You learn to honor others, and then others are going to honor you. But if you don't honor others, you're not going to get honored either. Are you listening? Today, I pray that you will be inspired by God's word and example of those heroes of faith that have gone before. Remember, in God's kingdom, there is a protocol of honor. If you expect God's blessing, you need to start by honoring God. We said this in the beginning. Respect his word and behave accordingly. I really do love God as you go out there and sin. Get out of here. I know. When perversion gets a hold of you, it gets a hold of you. But I also see that you don't fight. You know, you'll fight harder against a Christian telling you to do right than you do against the devil who's telling you to do wrong. It happens that way. I mean, you'll come against a Christian like with everything you have, but you just go ahead and let the devil just drag you right down into that pit. Isn't that the way it works? You don't fight him. Come on. Think about this. You're going to have to quit. You're going to have to get it together. If you're going to fulfill the destiny that God has for you. Many are called, few are chosen. All the things you're going through is your testing time. You're in school of learning, and it's really hard sometimes. School of hard knocks. And what are you learning? Are you learning to honor? Are you learning to get good character? Are you learning that God is forever? Are you learning that you're the problem, not everybody around about you? If you're a person that judges all the time, you're full of pride, you're the problem. Come on. Not the people around you. I can do it better than you can. All right, then you go start your own church. I've told people that, and they went and started their own church, and guess what? They failed. But all right, so if you think that you can do something better than your pastor can, and I'm talking about any pastor, then you go start a church, and you do what you think is right. And if God's not in it, you'll fail. But if he's really called you to do that, you won't come against any pastor. You'll sit and you'll wait until God speaks to you and says, I want you to go now. I want you to start your own church now. Or I want you to go and I want you to go throughout the land and I want you to prophesy what thus saith the Lord. All right? All right, I said, remember, in God's kingdom, there is a protocol of honor. If you expect God's blessing, you need to start by honoring God, respect his word, and behave accordingly. This includes respect by everything that is holy, God himself, his word, the church, and the men and women of God that he places on your path. On your path. You're going to run into many, many men and women of God. How are you going to honor them? You know, when I was out in the evangelistic field, the people in Pennsylvania, they called me after years of not going there and asked me to come, and I went there. And I never saw such coming against me. They invited me. I didn't call them. But they stood up there and run me down and then said, now we're going to have her teach. But see, I wasn't concerned because I knew I wasn't anything they were saying. And I knew I was in God's perfect will. You called me, I didn't call you. So when I get up there, God's going to perform, and he did. Chastise that pastor like you wouldn't believe. But he ministered to the people who came out. Now, why would you do that? He didn't honor me at all, but then had me up there and teach. Then afterwards, he said, I'm not going to take you out to lunch because I just don't have time, but I would like some information. Sit down, give me some. I said, no, I'm going to go now, thank you. You know, you're not going to honor me, but yet you want to draw the things that you want to hear God say out on you. I don't think so. I'm not going down that road. You know, when you learn to honor God, then you honor and respect his people. Then God will honor you. All right? Don't ever let anybody use you like that. I used to, and God said, stop it. He said, they can't honor you, then just walk away. Shake the dust off your feet and walk away. Honoring authority impacts our lives. Are you listening here? Honoring authority impacts our lives. I would like to challenge you tonight to re-examine your protocols of honor. Re-examine. And to start treating the things of God with honor. Begin by honoring also the men and women of God that serve in your local church and treat them respectfully. Bring honor to your marriage by showing your appreciation for your husband, for your wife, and for your children. And this is where a lot of marriages fail because you do not honor your wife. God said, love your wife as Christ loves the church. And he doesn't look at you and say, well, I'll love you if. He doesn't tell the woman to love her husband. He said, men, love your wife as Christ loves the church. And men don't give their wife any honor. They don't act like they're priests in the home. And therefore, the marriage fails, and they blame the wife. God's watching all this. And when you stand before him at judgment day, he's going to bring this day to count to you, and he's going to show you where you were dead wrong. Are you listening here? Romans 12:10 says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. I like that. Outdo one another by showing another and showing honor. I want to say something here. You guys do honor me, okay? I'm just giving you a teaching. You guys really do honor me. When Brother Larry passed, you really, really showed me how much you love me. So please, I'm not saying that you do not honor me, but I have to teach the word. If the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, say, this is a good message for somebody else. Amen. All right, the God who has opened the hearts and minds of kings and revealed his plans to leaders is a God of your calling. Listen to that again. The God who has opened the hearts and minds of kings and revealed his plans to leaders is a God of your calling. That's the God that has called you to do a perfect works. Are you listening to this? No gatekeeper and no general are beyond God's influence. No giant is too strong for you to defeat in the power of his spirit, and no gate is too heavy for him to open. God can do, is the God of the impossibles. God can do anything that you need done in your life. Now, God wants to restore honor in his house. I'm hearing you say he wants to restore rightful judgment in his house. He wants to restore peace in his house. He wants to give you every opportunity tonight to get it right. If you know that you failed in certain areas of your life, then you need to let God go ahead and take those things. Tell him, God, take everything out of me where I have failed, and God, just fill me full of yourself. Now, if you're not willing to have God do that, then don't expect God to use you. If you're not willing to honor those who are over you, then God's going to look at you with dishonor. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. It doesn't matter what the one that's over you is doing. It's not for you to judge. It's for God to judge. And if you're under somebody and they are not doing what's right, God will take you out from underneath them. He will. He really will. And you won't have to do it on your own. God will make a way for you to be removed without you getting in any kind of trouble with God whatsoever. You know, I told you I was going to this church, and I just really did love the people, but they really didn't treat me. I mean, they treated me bad. And so I just left on my own. And I went, and for a year I went to another church, which I really did love. And God, every day God said, daughter, why don't you go back to the church you just left? You know, this happened for a year, every day for a year. Finally, one day I said, all right, God, I'm going back. He said, good. I went back, told the pastor that God sent me back. She said, I knew he would. And I went in there and I got myself all settled in, all comfortable. And God said to me, now I want you to leave. I said, what? I just got comfortable. He said, I want you to leave. He said, you left in a wrong manner. And I had to bring you back so you could leave properly. And there won't be any disgrace to my name. So I told the pastor, well, God's told me you got to leave. She said, no, he didn't, but just go anyhow. But he did. I don't say God said. I do not say God said unless God says. I just don't do that. I don't believe in that. And I don't want to lose my anointing, my position in God. And I surely don't want to go to hell. So anytime I look at you and say, this is what I heard from God, that's where I've heard it. Wasn't because somebody else shared their opinion with me. It's not because I just thought this would be a good thing for you to hear. It's because God has spoken it. And I hope each one of you who call yourself a prophet will do the very same thing. You only speak when God speaks, otherwise keep your mouth shut. Where they expect me to say something. It doesn't matter what they expect. What does God expect out of you? He expects submission and obedience to him. I don't care how important it is for you to hear a word from the Lord. It evidently isn't that important to God, or he would speak. Are you understanding this? To you, you think, oh, if I don't hear from God right now, I'm going to die. And see, when you do that, then people give you a false word, and then you do die. But if God isn't speaking, then it's because you are not ready yet to receive what he wants to give you, you know, prophetically. So just be still. And know that God is God. When Pastor Larry was in the hospital, I was sitting there and I said, God, what do you want me to do? He said, just be still. Just be still. I said, there you go again with that be still thing. But you know, I know what it, just be still. Don't ask him again. Just be quiet. Just be still. In God's timing, he was going to reveal what he wanted done. But see, like I said, it's so much easier to go out and kill the giants than it is to wait. Wait upon the Lord, the word tells us, right? But I have noticed that the body, I even said today, I'll be glad when God sends the sinners in, because the church doesn't want God. They don't want the truth of God's word. And the sinners are going to come in, God said, and they're going to eat the word up. And I'm waiting for that day when they flood in here and they'll just sit there and they'll just be vessels, just soak everything in and then run with it. Because the body of Christ has sat under God's word so long. And I've told this God to God for about 10 years now, that the word isn't doing anything for the body of Christ. They've heard it too long, and they're just words. And I said, God, we just need you to fall in a mighty way. And that's what's going to happen when the glory falls. But in the meantime, what he's trying to do is get leaders who he can trust. He's been training people. Some are failing. Some are struggling, but they're going to get there eventually. But God needs strong leaders, strong towers that he can send other people into. He cannot use a weak leader. He cannot use a leader who stumbles and falls at every time a new wind or doctrine comes. You know, and he can't use somebody that is always offended. Dear Lord, people get offended so quickly. He can't use you because the devil will have you in it. He'll have you in a loop all the rest of your life. He's always going to send somebody your way to offend you. Always. I offend people all the time. And I really think God uses me to test you. I really do. I said, God, why do you do that? I said, I offended them again. He doesn't care. If you read the word, Jesus offended them too, didn't he? So if you offend people, don't worry about it. That means you're in good standing with God. and there's something in them that's not godly, and God's using you to get it out of them. Believe me, that is the truth. I know. I've been preaching long enough now to know. Sometimes when I was on evangelistic, you always say, God, please don't use me to offend anybody in there. You know, but he always did. Why? Because he was trying to train up leaders who could stand offense and not fall with it, but let it strengthen them and let it vibrate them and bring them forth in God's might and God's power. How many of you in here tonight, you really want to learn how to honor God first? See, if you learn how to honor God, then that honor just flows right on down. But if you don't know how to honor God, then you won't honor anything. You won't even honor your own self. So God is saying, if you really want to know how to honor him, he wants to give you a special anointing tonight for that deep honor that only he can give you. You can't conjure up that honor. You can't pray it up. But God wants to touch you tonight and give you that anointing to be able to honor him first. And if you want that anointing, come on up the altar, and God's going to give you that anointing. Now, after God does his part, then we do our ministering to you. But please, first of all, let God anoint you tonight to honor him first. So that honor then can go down in every area of your life.